Shadow, to you from God's holy word, the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter. First, the reading of the law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image, nor the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guilty that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is no bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off this far. Now, number 32. Your collection will now be taken. Number 32. Lord, hear the right, regard my cry, my prayer from lips sincere. And what follows, number 32. Attention this morning for the words of my text, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8, these words, therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of melons and wickedness, but by die aanlevend bred of sincerity en truth. Dus far. Beloved congregation, we have heard Friday evening that Paul speaks in this text about the proper use of the slain Paschal Lamb. And in the first place, to that end, God's people must be aroused. To that end, God's people must be prepared. And to that end, God's people must be enlightened. We have heard about the reason why that Paul called Passover a feast, because Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The only ground for salvation. The Father satisfied. The Church justified. And the attributes of the Lord glorified. And on the basis of the mediatorial work of Christ Jesus as that slain Paschal Lamb, salvation is firm and sure. And it is also a pledge of the merits of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, as we read in Revelation 19, verse 7 to 8. Now for this morning, I will say something with the assistance of the Lord about my last point. To that end, God's people must be enlightened. Paul speaks in a text about old leaven and the leaven of malice and wickedness, and then about the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Old leaven in our text, that refers to people living in the world. Leaven of malice and wickedness, that refers to God's children. And then the necessity that God's people may excited to take the Lord's Supper with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the days of old, Passover was not for each and every one. It was a feast ordained only for dead people that belongs to the seed of Abraham. It was a feast not for strangers and for alien of, with other words, not for heathens, but it was especially or appointed for that people that belongs to the church visible. And the church visible at that time was a national church. That is in our days now, at the present time, much different, because now the church is no longer natural, but now it is spread over the whole world, and it belongs not to a certain nation of country, but now it is international. Now all kind of heathens, people and nations can belong now to the church. But also that feast of Passover, it could not be held by all the people that had the mark of the seed of Abraham. There was also at those days a separation. We know that out of the ceremonial laws, but we know that also out of that history of the suffering and the death of Christ Jesus. We have heard in the Passion Weeks that Christ was sentenced by Caiaphas the high priest. But that Caiaphas, he had well a right to sentence people, but not to execute that sentence upon the people, for that simple reason they were at that time under the dominion of the Roman Emperor. And then of course it was the preparation for Easter, for Passover, and the scribes and a part of that Sanhedrin that have to be deliver Christ into the hand of Pontius Pilate. But they went not into the hall of Caiaphas. They came well to his house, but they did not enter into his house. Pilate, he have to come out his house, because that people, that Jewish people that was afraid, when they would enter into the hall of Pilate, then it was impossible to partake or to communicate the feast of the unleavened bread. In accordance to the law of Moses, then they were unholy. Even window when they touched a dead body. Then it was also impossible for them to partake the feast of unleavened bread. And there were amongst Israel many laws in regard to the holding of that, the holding of the Passover or the feast of unleavened bread. There was there's also some censor amongst the people itself. And it is well necessary, and I think it is well very good, that I briefly explain a little to you in this morning the difference between both of the sacraments. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are both sacraments of the covenant of grace. Not the covenant of works, but of the covenant of grace. And they are seals and signs of that eternal covenant that the Lord made with Christ and in Christ with his elect. Because Adam represented all mankind, and Christ in the covenant of grace represents all God's elect and chosen people. Clear enough. Now, many people outside of us that made always objections about the viewpoint of our church in regard to the difference of the sacraments. You hear time and again that they cast for our feet that we make a difference between baptism and the Lord's Supper. We do, indeed, we make a difference, because that difference that is there, all the people under the Old Testament must be circumcised. All the boys who were born. And that was a command that the Lord had given to their people, and that was very strongly. You have that in the story of Moses. His older son was well circumcised, but not the second. And then the Lord, he came against him, and he would kill him. And then that his wife circumcised that boy. And she said, "You are me, a bridegroom of blood." The Lord, he takes care for his own ordinances. And it is not permittable for us that we handle the sacraments as we want to do. We have always to regulate ourselves to the Word of God. Now, people outside of us that always say, "In your church, all the children are baptized." But what is now the matter that not all the people come to the Lord's table? What is now the matter? Why now the difference? Because amongst Israel, then all the people, they were partakers of the Passover. All the people. Every family, they had a lamb. They have to eat it with the children. And now you make a separation. Some people go much further and they say, oh, you can hear those ministers and they are afraid that there come many people to the Lord's table. They are always busy to keep the people back. That they come even few to the Lord's table, but all they are so afraid. That they have so many tables. No, I am not afraid. No. Oh, I want that I could do the same as Jan Edwards one in Boston. When he was preaching there and had the Lord's Supper on one Sunday, that he was busy the whole Sabbath day to serve the tables because there was such a great multitude that have desire and that have need for the commemoration of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a desire of my heart, people, that each and every one could come to that table in this moment. There must be no greater joy for God's children, for God's servants, that they may see at a table so many people that can speak about the work of God glorified in their heart, hungry and thirsty after Christ and his righteousness. Oh, that is all the time our desire. That now has come people to the table that we worship Christ. Really? Oh, yes. And that the whole congregation received that impression in their heart that now is the true word of God in the soul. Oh, if I have to stay here till 2 o'clock, till the time that they have to serve the Holland just again in this afternoon, I have no objection. No, it must be a pleasure to me, really. And oh, many times, not here on the pulpit, people, but even in our inner shame, that we have to serve the Lord's table. Time and again, it is our desire that we say, oh Lord, gladden now my heart. Gladden now my heart. That there is coming so many, but that they have a good foundation. Oh yes. And that they can speak a little of that work of the Lord that is glorified in us. Oh, you can imagine, people, what a great blessing it will be in the church that we may hear this and that one that is born in Zion, and that they could say, come and I tell what the Lord has done to my soul. But now the difference, because I have to answer that question to you. Why did he make a difference between baptism and the Lord's Supper? You know why. The baptism, that is a sacrament of engrafting in the church. As soon as we are baptized and our name afterwards is written in the book of the church, then we belong to that church. Then we lay under the prayers, under the exhortations, under the warnings, and under the privilege of the church. as soon as we are baptized in its church. But the Lord's Supper, that is a sacrament of to strengthen the faith of God's people, to the nourishment and refreshment of that people, and to the encouraging of God's children. That is, of course, the difference with the Lord's Supper. And there is another thing. When our children are baptized, then your father and mother brought you in the church. Is that right? You don't know that, but you have heard that, and you see that every time. You see that children when you come in the evening again in the church. You have not to stay home, but you can come freely to the church, even in this evening. And then you can see what happens with baptism. Your parents, you were bringing you in the church. But with the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, there's a personal matter. That is not something for your parents. No. That is something we have to make for ourselves. And they say, we come personally for ourselves now. And then, of course, the people of Israel, that was a different people. That was the chosen nation of the Lord. A type of the church of the New Testament. And then this Lord's Supper is a sacrament. Personal for ourselves, that we have to make a decision, and that it is to strengthening the faith of God's children. Then you can imagine that there must be something of that faith in our heart. And now the trouble in so many other churches is that they are mixed up historical faith and saving faith. That is the whole trouble. And it is too bad that the people cannot see the difference. And I thought in this morning, it is well necessary that I say something about it and that I emphasize that, because we are preaching not only for God's people, but we are preaching for the old church and preaching also for our coming and young generation. And it is so necessary that they know our doctrine, because without knowing our doctrine, we cannot love it. We first have to know it. And we have to be convinced that that doctrine is the right doctrine, and that it is a personal matter for each and every one. And as I have told you now for a few minutes before, something that we don't know, we can not love it. We cannot love it. In paradise, we lost everything. And in principle, when it comes to the question, what did we lost in paradise, then we can say love to God and love to our neighbor. As soon as the Lord conferred us, then in principle, we receive back for ourselves what we have lost. And then from that time on, not before, no. Not before, but after that the Lord had regenerated us. This, that comes on the foreground, the work of the Lord. Not our work, no, But the work of the Lord that he wrought, his work in our heart. And then afterwards we start to cry. And we start to sigh. And we start to long. And as an heart panteth after the water, look so, our soul panteth after thee, the living God. That is not before that we regenerated, but that is afterwards. That is afterwards. And then the characteristics of the work of the Lord. It is too bad I can do briefly in this morning. But I hope that I can say it so clear to you that you can understand what I have to say to you. Now, as soon as the Lord had started his work, then we show that in the fruit. That means not that it is clear for ourselves immediately. No. It cannot take years and years before that we know for ourselves that the true word, that we can believe that it is the true work of God. And that the Lord has commenced his work in our soul. There is in the heart of many of God's children a struggle and a strife time and again. That it comes to the question, is there really the work of God in my heart? Did the Lord commence his work in my soul? Why? Oh, I tell you. There is so much contradiction in my heart and in my life. So much a contradiction. I have read in the Bible and I have heard of God's people that as soon as the Lord come that our life is changed. And I come to the conclusion that I don't know. I thought my character will be different. I thought my nature had to say nothing more. And oh, I am different towards my wife, towards my husband, towards my children. Oh, it must all well be different. And now, oh, I am so disappointed. I am so disappointed. So disappointed, why? You are disappointed because you have never read the Bible good. Or read the Bible good, no. You do not understand the work of the Lord. Because the Lord, he confers well persons, but he never conferred characters, and he never conferred natures. No, he break it well down to a certain extent, but it is not taken away. And our heart is well renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit, but the corruption of our hearts is still there, and that stays there as long as we are living here in this world. And now I say that now simply, very simply. Now we come in the greatest trouble with ourselves. Another thing, if the work of God is now right in your heart, then we have times that you could say freely to the Lord, I have now today not one enemy in the whole world. Otherwise I have something, oh, that man or that woman or that boy or that girl, I have something to fight with and to say something to him. But now today, really, I have not one enemy in the whole world. Not one. Sometimes in our business and in our work and in the factory we have people that is always against us, and of course we come against them too here. Really, that is our nature. But oh, there are moments then that people that can pray for their greatest enemies. And then they say, Lord, comfort. But still, that people, there is one enemy left for them. And they never agree with him. And it is the neighbor? No. Instead, that himself. That is himself. They are fighting with himself as long as they are living. And they experience in himself all that is flesh and blood, that it never shall submit himself unto the Lord. Never. That is now always enmity. Always. And now that old leaven, as I told you in this morning, that refers to the world. That old leaven, that means living sin without desire for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we have our delight in it. That we are running after sin. If the Lord comfort us, then sin is running after us. Before we were running after it, but now in after our conversion, from that time on, sin that is running after us. We have a desire, if it was possible for ourselves, people, or that we kill every sin here in our heart. And what is the petition of God's people before the Lord time and again? That they say, Lord, it is in your eternal decree and in your wisdom that the corruptible are that have stayed with me. Oh, I cannot pray that you take it away, because then I pray against the will of God. But I can pray to thee that you take away the desire after sin in my heart. Yes, I have freedom to pray that to the Lord. And that by through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that sin that would be killed more and more inside, that I am dead to the world, that I am dead to sin, that I am dead to the corruption of my heart, and that thy name never be blasphemed on account of my life and of my sin, but that the Lord may be glorified. And of course, now Paul is said in the text, therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, that means that we are living in sin with our heart. God's people that cannot live in sin, they are crying against it. That means not, people, that it is always even strong. Philpott, he said in one of his letters, oh, I love sin so many times. Alas. But then he complained about it. If the true work of God is in our heart, people, then at the bottom of our heart, we never can agree with it. We never can agree with it. There is more or less, there is a strife against it. And that people bewailed it. bewailed it day and night. They that they shall never agree with it, no. But now that leaven of malice and wickedness, that leaven of malice and wickedness, and Peter, he wrote to the church, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. That is the calling for the church. Oh, if the work of God is right in our heart, people, then we have to come back time and again. And that people that comes back, that comes back. That died years ago as a minister in the Netherlands. And that man that was brought so low, so down by the Lord. He was so before then, he was quite a man. Quite a man. But before that he died, all his children, his grandchildren, they have to come on his bed. Even his grandchildren. And then he asked them all for forgiveness. Even the grandchildren that he had not prayed enough for and had not warned them enough. Even his grandchildren. Yes. And then he could die. And now, of course, people, oh, we are so wretched. We are not righteous. No. And I have told you many times from this pulpit, if the true word of God is in our heart, then the devil, he is always behind us. Always. He is always busy. Always. He does that not with worldly people. Oh no, they have rest. They have pleasure. But that is different with God's people. And our inside, that is much worse than outside. Inside. By day and by night, people. That enemy that is now always busy to bring us to destruction. To lay all the time something between the Lord and our soul. You are sitting in the church today. I am standing on the pulpit. But that is a great one, or not? Yes or no? If you say no, then I would say, oh, what a big Pharisee. What a big Pharisee. But if you say yes, what a wonder. What a wonder. I have killed in my life so many people already. I think if they were all dead, then you have not seats enough here to lay them down. You never kill some people? You never have done it? We are murderers. Or sometime our own children. Sometime our own children. Is that right? Sometime our own wife, our own husband. Hey. Oh yes, murders. Oh, every time when I passed Michigan City or coming upon with a big state prison is. Then I time and again I have to think, Lord, oh, what a wonder. Yes, what a wonder that I are walking on the street and are sitting inside them. Really? What is man now? What is man? Oh, people, if I have to tell you everything in this morning from this pulpit, it is too bad, the time is too short. But, oh, sometime, and maybe some can understand it, sometime, people, then I have to ask the Lord that he forgive my prayers. My prayers. Sometime I have to say, Lord, please take away what I have spoken unto you. Yes. Hard thoughts against the Lord, hard thoughts. Oh, it is impossible, people, to explain it all. Really. And it is not without reason that Paul said in that text, neither with a leaven of malice and wickedness. Oh, if the Lord uncovered us and the secrets here, depth of our heart, and the depths of sin, and the depths of sin. You know what there is left for the people here. What there is left. And oh, if you have now some of it in your heart, then I could say, boy, oh, men, women, there is now a place for you here this morning. Then your life now is, from day to day, to condemn yourself before the Lord. Then your life is to condemn yourself before the Lord. And to admire him as unfaithful, as an unchangeable, as an all-sufficient, and as a faithful God. If you condemn yourself, oh, if you are the least of all men here in this world. By nature, then we love ourselves. But, oh, people, it is too bad I have to go over to the reading of the forum. The time is going on. But, oh, if you hate your life in this world, if you hate your life in this world, and that there are moments that you say, Lord, I rather would die. I rather would die. Not to be delivered of all that wretchedness, but to be delivered of myself. Of myself. That you have no longer grief of me. Because I am a grief unto you, Lord. I felt it. And then sometime I tell you another thing. Sometime, oh, then that sin that is not so strong, sometime it lays under, that happens. But when that sin is not so strong, then I am a big hypocrite. Then I am a big Pharisee. And then I'm busy here inside to say, oh man, now it goes a good way with you. And now you need no, then I need no Christ, oh. I am so heartless, so loveless, then I am so dead. And that are all the experience of that people, all those experiences. And that is, when I not meet the Lord in truth and sincerity, then I am crucifying the Lord for the second time. Then I am crucifying the Lord for the second time. Oh, it comes to a point, I would say more about it, but oh, it is too bad. There is not so many people that can understand those things. I think it goes too high sometimes. my preaching, but always there come times for a child of God that he don't know for what things that he had to pray. That we don't know it. And that we say, Lord, I came to an end with it. I don't know. I don't know. Really. To such a darkness. A mixing up comes their people many times in their life. But now in an other way than we have now in our heart, malice and wickedness towards God and towards men, and that it is our life. There is no place here on this table in this at this table in this morning, people. But what that with the unleavened breath of sincerity and truth, that. And that it is our desire, people, to live as Christ had lived here in this world. David, he had sorrow over the dead body of Abner. But we must have more sorrow over our dead souls. Over our dead souls. And Abraham was out of love to God, willing with his own hand to offer up his own son. And we must out of love to God slain our unlegal bastard inclinations or affections, the unleavened breath of sincerity and truth. Oh, can we lay open our heart before the Lord? Can we say now in this morning, all my desire is before thee, are not hid from thee. And that my desire is to walk in the ways of the Lord, to kill all kind of sin inwardly, and to walk in the fear of his name, all, and that we need Christ for that personally. Josaphat, he had once in his life, he had thousand and thousand soldiers with him to go up to the battle. And still that man, he said, Lord, there is no strength in us, but our eyes upon thee, that our only expectation is Christ and him crucified. Oh, may the Lord grant it unto us out of his free and sovereign grace, as we now sing nog together, out of that Psalter 222nd, seventh stanza, 222nd. If my people would obey me, gladly walking in my ways, soon would I their full subduing fill their lips with songs of praise. 222nd, the seventh stanza.